is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy, crunchy temperature that will melt left and right snowflakes at the same time.
All right.
A sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Diana?
Can you totally feel it?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's massaging the medulla oblong lumbata.
Medulla oblonga, whatever, honey.
Oblong lumbamba, I don't know.
Oh, for God's sakes. So, anyway, whatever. So, I'm going to start off right out the gate with the important little announcement. It's kind of a big deal.
Another
speaker has just been confirmed for the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which will be held on starting Thursday, June 22nd, and will be going through Monday, June 26th at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan. For more information, go to mplfest.org. So I've been authorized to disseminate the information that the confirmed speaker is Dr. Mary Ruart. She will be attending at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest and giving a presentation. I'm not sure if she's on Saturday or Sunday, but she'll be out there, and it's probably going to be a pretty darn good time.
And you know, I was reading up on her a little bit more, and it looks like she's been a supporter of the Free State Project. I'm not sure if she still is. At least at one point, she was a supporter of the Free State Project. So I just thought that was interesting that she would be a speaker at Liberty Fest and not Pork Fest.
Well, she was a speaker at Pork Fest once, and I was at Pork Fest in 2013 for Pork Fest 10, and she was speaking there.
Okay.
At least I'm relatively sure that was her.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Well, anyway, yeah, she's kind of like an OG libertarian. So, although she's been a part of the Libertarian Party, she's definitely not the typical Kool-Aid drinking LP member. So,
Well, that's definitely good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
she would be part of the Radical Caucus or Audacious Caucus, as it's called. So
not a big L. Libertarian official, okay.
So anyway, yeah, she's one of us. She's an anarchist. So
one of us.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, that's the big news. So you guys got anything exciting going on?
Well, I just moved recently as well, Lou.
Congratulations.
And it's been a process, and it's still a process. And I went from a relatively small place to an even smaller place. And, it is in a little bit of a sketchier area. it's coming around. I'm pretty adaptable. I tend to kick and scream a little bit and bitch and moan. But, other than that, I hang in there and get it done. So been a little stressful though, I must say.
Okay. Well, I've moved like 4.5 miles from Bearsketchewan to Bearsketchewan, because Bearsketchewan is basically a area that surrounds me wherever I go, except for when I go to Detroit, because Bearsketchewan doesn't want to be down there. So Bearsketchewan waits like on the outer limits of the city. So
you can take the man out of Bearsketchewan, but you can't take the Bearsketchewan out of the man.
Yep.
So, but you got a house, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy about that.
Cool.
It means I cut my own grass now instead of having a landlord do it.
Well, yay. I mean, how do you feel about that? Do you? Yeah, exactly. Yay. I mean, is that? Are you? Do you prefer that?
Well, I've cut twice, and I don't hate it yet. I'm pretty sure that as the dog days of summer come along, and the mosquitoes are tearing me apart, and I'm sweating and breathing in fumes and just the blades of sand and all that, or grass, not sand. Well, there's some sand around here too. But anyway, mm-hmm. as all that goes along, I'll probably get to a point of, well, bleep this. Kind of like shoveling snow. Because up here we get a lot of snow, and mm-hmm. The first snowfall of the year, it's always a special thing, especially when it sticks around for a couple of days. It's, you know, mm-hmm. it's all beautiful and pretty, and it's picturesque, like in a super duper greeting card or Christmas card. Yeah. So it's real pretty, mm-hmm. and just yeah. it fills you with the holiday spirit and everything else. And then, like, by, I don't know, end of January, beginning of February, you're like, I'm going to burn the cabin down to keep from having to shovel the roof again. and yes, people do shovel their roofs.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, I imagine they have to. There was a bookstore in Flagstaff that had a roof cave in on them because the snow stacked up so hard.
It happens.
It happens
in the mountains. In the mountains up here, you have to shovel your roof. That's my preference.
Roof.
One of those. I'll find it eventually.
I was just going to say it happens in the mountains here too. People have to shovel their roofs, and but not really so much in Colorado Springs or Denver. They don't get as much enough snow for that to happen usually, I don't think. I haven't been here long enough.
Oh, I thought you lived in Denver. Well, you did.
Well, I do now, but yeah, I do now, but I was living in Colorado Springs. The winters are basically the same. They're about an hour apart, Colorado Springs and Denver, so.
Right. Okay.
But yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm actually getting to the point where I'm strongly considering moving to Denver because the government in Seattle is just crazy. They are just complete nutter bags.
They're crazy everywhere. I mean.
Yeah, but there are
some places are crazier than others.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this place is the one in the crazy house that has to be systematically put in a straitjacket because he keeps trying to bite people and whatnot. That's the crazy we've got over here.
I was reading something. What in the happy Halloween are you talking about?
Everything that they're doing.
who's biting people?
Seattle. The city government of Seattle. And the state government of Washington, which is basically controlled by Seattle. But they just passed a soda tax, and it's a tax on sugar in drinks. And it's like a cents per ounce, which means if you buy a two liter cola or something like that, you're going to be paying over a dollar extra for it. But the thing is, it's, of course, like most government regulations, so sort of vaguely worded that you could pretty much apply it to anything except for the specific things that got exemptions, one of which just happens to be Starbucks bottled Frappuccinos. Ooh, imagine that. I wonder how that happened. But
whoops.
Yeah. Of all things to get an exemption,
right.
The Starbucks bottled Frappuccino. Really?
Must have been an oversight.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Now, is this Seattle, or is this, is this Seattle that's doing this, or is this the state of Washington?
Seattle, right?
No, the soda tax, the sugar tax is Seattle itself, just Seattle proper.
Oh, okay, so, I mean, that's going to be simple. People are going to buy their sodas outside of Seattle.
Yeah.
And then bring them back.
All it's going to do is it's going to hurt local businesses in Seattle, which it's already hurting. They passed it on Monday or something, and people are already getting really worried about it. Like, small businesses are wondering if they're going to have to close their doors, just like with the minimum wage hike. With businesses already looking at their balance sheets and planning for the wage hike. Well, no, that's not going to work. I better close before I have to renew my lease. You're seeing stuff like that starting to crop up. People starting to get worried about having to close. And there's there's a common saying, which is not only Seattle, but it's very often heard these days around this area. And there's really isn't a tax that Seattle has ever seen that it doesn't like. Like, there is no tax that Seattle doesn't like. It's really that bad. I mean, and gas is like $3.50 or $4 a gallon in Seattle proper.
Oh my
and it's
goodness.
$2.60 wow. in Renton. Yeah. It's just, yeah. They want to suck you dry.
Mm-hmm.
So what is Mayor Nicolas Maduro's plan for reviving Seattle?
Well, they're going to use the soda tax and things like that to funnel money into educational programs, and by educational programs, they probably mean social justice training or social justice indoctrination, which is essentially what's going on now. They've got that little, you know, hippo graphic with the rainbow over his nether regions and all that stuff. And yeah. This city is just insane. They've gone crazy. It's really depressing for somebody who's moved out here and fell in love with the city, fell in love with the overall culture, to mm-hmm. watch it just being kind of systematically destroyed from because nobody out here understands the slightest thing about social sciences or economics. You see people clamoring for rent control because the rent is going up, don't bother actually looking at the prior cases of rent control, like San Francisco and New York City, where mm-hmm. the rent just skyrocketed afterwards. Don't bother actually looking at history or looking at economics or basic supply and demand principles. Just go along with whatever Marxist idiocy that you have siphoned into your brain from whatever institution that you decided to become indoctrinated in, and you know, apply it to politics and ruin people's lives. That's, you know, God forbid you actually learn something, right?
Learning economics and sociology class. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Okay, and so we're back, and we were just talking about communist Seattle,
the People's Republic of Seattle.
And you were talking about the people are clamoring for rent control and everything, and you know, it just made me think about I'm no expert in economics. I mean, I know a little bit, and I know enough to know that, you know, things like rent control and taxes on, you know, things that people want to put in their bodies doesn't help anything in the long term. And rent control, I believe ends up being the answer to a problem that was created by socialists in the first place.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Seattle is kind of a unique case in the rent area. They're, mm-hmm. there are a lot of problems exacerbated by socialist policies here, including mm-hmm. in the housing market. But even despite that, with or without that, there's still a lot of upward pressure on the housing market here just because of the land situation in Seattle, because it's trapped between an ocean and a mountain range, and there's not a whole lot of space to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like how Manhattan was. Manhattan had a lot of upward pressure on housing and real estate prices and rent mm-hmm. because it's just on that island, and it doesn't really have anywhere to go. Of course, it still has, you know, New York City still grew beyond over the Hudson and the East Rivers, but Seattle basically has north and south to grow, and even those are kind of locked off because they've got other cities taking up that space. So it's pretty much kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of people can move into the surrounding areas like Bellevue and Renton and Redmond mm-hmm. and places like that, even those places are still kind of blocked off because, you know, like I said before, you've got the geography that puts a lot of restrictions. But despite that, you know, that gives the initial upward pressure, but all of the little property tax policies and eat the rich policies that they have going on in Seattle,
right,
are really just adding fuel to that fire.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you put in your rent control and you've got one of two things that are going to happen. Either one, if you put rent control in specific places and don't have it universal, well, that's going to drive all of the rent prices in the surrounding areas up, and it's going to still have the part two or the second option effect happen, in which, well, you have all of those rent controlled apartments. They're stuck with not being able to raise the rates per lease, so they have to get you really high when you first get in, because they have to anticipate.
Wait! They have to get you really high. Can you?
High rent prices.
High rent prices, right? They have to charge you very high.
Now we know why Diana lives in Denver.
Well, it's Seattle. Seattle's the same thing. Everybody's already high in Seattle. Everybody's already really high. But no, they got to stick you for a really high price right up on the front end, because they know that as soon as somebody gets that apartment, they're going to hold on to it for dear life. On top of that, people are stuck in whatever, you know, terrible apartment situation they're in, because they have to keep that apartment because they've had it for 4 years, and they know that if they move somewhere else, their rent is going to double or triple or more, because the rent control is driving the initial rent prices everywhere else through the roof. It's really basic stuff. You know, you said you're not an expert in economics. I'm not either by any means. It's really basic principles.
Yeah, that's basic. Yeah.
Yeah, and just look around you. Look at what happened in San Francisco when they instituted rent control. That really didn't help. San Francisco still has some of the highest rent, if not the highest rent in the country, rivaled by, of course, Manhattan, New York City, which also instituted rent control and also ended up with some of the highest rent in the country. But nobody bothers to look at history. At least leftists certainly don't.
Yeah. Yeah. How does that saying go, that anyone who ignores history is doomed to repeat it or something like that? Can't remember exactly how the saying goes, but it's along those history, lines.
Right. Anybody who knows history is doomed to sit by and watch while other people repeat it.
Right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 5th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, starting Thursday, June 22nd, and going through Monday, June 26th. That's right, Liberty Fest is getting longer and stronger. There will be presentations, discussions, bacon duels, and outdoor activities in an environment that is both family and grown-up friendly. There will be special appearances by Jeffrey Tucker, Dana Martin, and a few of the Freedom Fiends. If you have only talked about what a free society would look like, this is your chance to live it and see it with your own eyes. Now round up your friends and family and get them registered today at mplfest.org. And there's a discount for paying with Bitcoin. That's mplfest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Center.
I dig your fire, man. I really do.
Well, thank you. Yeah. The way I like to put it sometimes to people, I say, you do you, just do you somewhere else.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have an aneurysm if I stay here too long. But I really love the state.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I don't know. I mean, I think there's pros and cons no matter where you go. There's always going to be plenty of government.
Mm-hmm. More than you can handle.
It'll
be like the buffet. There's more than you can eat. And trust me, they'll shove as much down your throat as they can.
I mean, I don't know how much you know about Colorado and Denver in particular in terms of the government, because I really don't know that much about it, because I really don't pay that much attention unless something gets in my face and, you know, something, you know, like ridiculous. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I don't have anything in particular other than they have, you know, apparently there's a lot of laws against being homeless, like you're not allowed to be homeless or something around here.
that's a shame. Yeah, well, that's really the issue here, is that it's in your face, it's everywhere in your face, because you just can't get away from it. I mean, the traffic, like they've passed this ridiculous construction program that's blocking off half the lanes on I-90, which is the only way to get from Mercer Island to Seattle or to Bellevue. And it's the only way without dropping like 15 or 20 bucks to get between, or going completely around to get between Bellevue and Seattle proper. But they're trying to put in this light rail that they already admit isn't really going to help much, but people still voted for it anyway because the leftism is so strong here.
Yeah.
And it's not just Seattle. There's a light rail project that went into Detroit. They started it before I moved out of there. I'm not even sure.
Everybody has their light rail project. Same thing in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're trying to pull that stuff in Florida too.
Yeah, this thing's like 3 miles long, and I think the cost is going to be about
3 miles.
$47 or $48 million dollars per mile.
Oh my god!
Wow! Yeah, I think the light rail project out here in Seattle, between Seattle and I guess between Seattle and Bellevue. Otherwise, why would they be messing with I-90? Maybe I'm confused on the projects, but apparently it's like over $1 billion project. Yeah, and they're advertising it like it's a good thing. They're advertising it as like, hey, look what we've done. Look what we're doing. We've got this project, and it's a $1 billion project. Oh, hooray! So you're stealing $1 billion from people to put in this ridiculous train that's not going to help with anything. Boom, bravo.
Yeah. Well, the theory in Detroit is that if they put this light rail in there, this train, people will come from Royal Oak, which is, probably from the downtown area. I'd say that it was within 20 miles. I know that. I don't know exactly how far it is, but it's roughly within 20 miles. But the feeling is that people will get on this light rail and they will ride it
down Woodward Avenue, which is the main drag in Detroit going to the downtown area. And they will go downtown and spend money and all this other stuff. But strangely enough, back in, I think it was the 70s or 80s, there was a project called the People Mover, which was a like a tram system that went around the downtown area, I guess it is. I'm not real well versed in it because it spent most of its time not running, from what I understand. that's one of those things that was going to be the savior of the Detroit economy, and it came and went. And I think it does run a little bit these days, but it was never the giant boon to the economy that it was promised to be. Matter of fact, do you guys remember the movie Singles? Matt Damon, yeah, Bridget Fonda, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think John Favreau may have been in there.
Yeah, it took place in Seattle.
Yeah, it took place in Seattle, and one of the characters was like a mayor or city council or something like that, and one of the main characters was making a proposal to light rail to one of the local politicians. The politician's like, look, I appreciate where you're coming from, but this thing's been brought up a million times, it's been shot down a million times, it's been tried a million times, it doesn't work anywhere, it'll never do what you promised, blah, 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 blah.
That was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, when at least a few people still had brains.
Well, maybe.
Or theoretically. Allegedly.
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 But anyway,
not a guarantee.
The bottom line here is the playbook for economic stimulus out of politicians is very short. It's about one page long, and they're going to do the same things over and over and over again. Yeah, I mean, heaven forbid somebody should even come up with the idea that, hey, maybe nothing should be done. Maybe the financial crisis, if you step back and let it smooth itself out, mm-hmm. things will get sorted out in a shorter period of time than if you go in there and try and deal with the unintended consequences of the previous interventions.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's the Republicans already tried that, and all of their not interference.
Look, we tried free market capitalism under George W. Bush. Right. Now we have to let the experts take over.
Yeah.
We tried capitalism under Bush.
Wow.
We're mouse pocketing each other here, but it's in satire, so it doesn't count.
I love it when people complain about, you know, how there's too much conflict and whatever arguing going on in government, like in you know, different councils and Congress and stuff like that, that they can't get anything done. They just can't get anything done. And it's just like, well, good.
Yeah.
Keep arguing. Well,
Yeah, that's fighting. Really the
don't
best
get anything
outcome.
Done, please.
Yeah, the best government is no government. The second best government is a gridlocked government.
Exactly.
So. Well, let me jump in with some Henry David Thoreau. The government that governs best governs best not governs at all. And when men are ready for it, that is exactly the government that they will have.
Yeah.
Yep.
So hopefully people in Seattle and all these other places will get sick and tired of being lab rats and guinea pigs. And I did a promo for the show tonight, and it's really quite suitable for this discussion. And I was referring to the national government, but putting your well-being in the hands of 536 politicians, being 535 people in the Congress plus a president. It could be 537 because occasionally the vice president will have to break a Senate vote. But anyway, putting your well-being in their hands is not liberty, you know, because they're going to impose their will upon you.
Right.
They could call it constitution, enumerated powers, whatever, but they're imposing their will. And all that stuff is just fancy flash and justification for them imposing their will. And if your backup plan is to have nine people in robes protect you from those 536 politicians, that is a lousy backup plan. You are going to get burned every single time. And that's why people are enrolled in Obamacare today, because they put their faith in the system. They put their faith in the Constitution. They put their faith in the Supreme Court to save them from this horrible thing. And then they elected a president on the notion that he was, well, the Republican Party itself, on the notion that Obamacare would be repealed. And all they did was they gave it a patriotic name and changed the individual mandate to the patriotic compliance requirement.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, the joke's on you, you dumb butts. Mm-hmm. And people explain that Obama wasn't a strong president. Well, he's strong enough to shove Obamacare down your throats. And you didn't do nothing about it.
Yeah. I feel like I should be. Yeah. Dumb butts.
Dumb butts.
Oh, 90s reference.
Yeah, dumb butts.
I saw your promo.
I liked it. I approve.
Well, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Diana. Yeah, it was good.
Thank you. So any other fun stuff in Seattle?
Oh, everything in Seattle is fun. Realistically, it is a great city. It's just being run into the ground by the socialists. So, and by socialists, I mean actual socialists. There is a socialist on the city council that is a socialist party member in Seattle. I don't know how many cities are actually like that. Maybe Portland. But yeah, other than that, it's a great town. Even the people by and large are great. Just the politics are ridiculous.
I just keep thinking, where are they not ridiculous? Seriously.
Being that you are the boots on the ground there for the Fiends, you are our Fiend in the Field reporter from Seattle. What do you think the average person, John Q. Public, I mean, what's going through their mind as they look at this Feinsteinery that you're talking about with such disdain?
Honestly, I think what goes through their mind is either they just don't think about it, or they look at it and they think, oh, that sounds like a good idea, and just don't think much past it.
They just don't think. In general, people just don't think about it. You know, unless it does something to affect them. I mean, unless it affects them directly in some way, shape, or form, in particularly a negative way, they don't pay attention. They don't care. You know, the government can do what they want. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just saying that I think people are just like that in general.
You're absolutely right. And they absolutely do. The government can do whatever they want, and they do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And people just take it and pretend like they're being protected.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Exactly.
Sir, may I have some more?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Can you give me a job there?
Gusanos is Spanish for worms, for those who have been confused.
I was just assuming. So, we're going to jump to another topic now, away from Seattle and all the way over to Oklahoma. So, apparently a man, in the act of drowning his own children, twin children, was shot and killed by his neighbor. Yay.
Yep.
Oklahoma. So this is in the Washington Post. Oklahoma father tries to drown twin babies. Neighbor shoots him. Police in Oklahoma say a father held his estranged wife at knife point while he tried to drown their 3-month-old twins in a bathtub. The twins are fine, by the way. The babies are fine. They were taken to the hospital and they're all good. A neighbor was alerted and killed the father. So Leland Foster, 27, of Ada, Oklahoma, allegedly went to the home of his estranged wife, Michelle Farrells, and their twins. Foster pulled Farrells into a bathroom, threatened her at knife point, and began trying to drown the children, a boy and a girl, according to Ada Public Information Officer Lisa Bratcher. A 12-year-old girl inside the home at the time ran to a neighbor's house for help. That neighbor, Cash Freeman, that's his actual name, y'all, Cash Freeman, grabbed his revolver, entered the house, and shot Foster in the back twice, and he later died of his injuries.
Cash Newman's estranged cousin.
Yeah, pretty much. The twins were airlifted to an Oklahoma City hospital and were released the next day, and they're doing great. So that's a happy ending there. And so I don't know. I haven't really read much up on, you know, what people are thinking about that. I do see that there's some comments here. So, you know, and I hadn't actually gone into the comments or anything, but, you know, just kind of wanted to get your guys' take on this situation. Do you think that that's a way to handle a situation like that or no?
Yes. I think this is an inarguable example of a good guy with a gun. And maybe there could have been other ways to deal with that situation, but you know what? If you have somebody drowning babies in a bathtub, you don't have time to think of what is the optimal way to prevent this from happening. You take care of it the first way you know how. And if that's by getting rid of the guy that is committing the egregious assault, then you do it. And I salute this man for protecting children that had been put in harm's way.
Yep. What about you, Lou? What do you think?
I think that the solution for child molesters is a Rottweiler and a bowl of gravy. and the molester.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, I think that this was a very justifiable act of, you know, I mean, basically he saved these babies' lives more than likely, you know, by doing what he did. Cash Freeman, like, love you, man. You know, thank you very much for your service. I don't like killing. I mean, I really don't. I don't like violence or anything like that. But, I mean, if that's what it takes, you know, to save, you know, innocent lives, then yeah. I mean, and that situation is not the police involved. It's, you know, a person, you know, one of the commenters here said a hero with a gun in the right place at the right time kind of thing. And I totally agree with that. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And there was, this is quasi related with the, as far as the gun thing, but one of the stupidest arguments that I've been hearing crop up is that, if you own a gun, you're more likely to have an accident and shoot somebody in your own household than you are to shoot an intruder. And the whole thing about that, that's such a stupid argument. The goal isn't to shoot an intruder. It's to prevent an intruder. And if you have to shoot them, then okay. Then you have to shoot them. But the goal is to prevent something like that from happening to begin with.
Right.
So, but of course, in this case, if you have somebody committing a violent act, then you want to be able to take care of it, and you need to be empowered to take care of it, however it needs to be taken care of.
Agreed.
We'll be back second hour.
Salutations.
Yes.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
All right. Worms.
Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So I am Phil. I am here with Lou and Diana, and we welcome Sundance and Belfouche for the second hour. So how are you guys doing? How are you doing, Lou?
I'm good.
Belfouche. How about you, Diana? How are you doing?
Pretty good.
That sounds good. All right.
Yeah. I'm a little confused, but other than that, I'm good.
Well, aren't we all, really?
Yeah.
In this day and age. So, Diana, I think you had something that you wanted to talk about.
After talking about Caracas, Washington State, it's time to switch over to Havana, Cuba.
Yeah, we've gone from one communist heck hole to another, right?
And in between, Cash Freeman. So, yeah, I recently heard that there have been quite a few, libertarians, members of Mises Institute in Cuba, actually arrested, abducted, whatever you want to call it, by the Cuban government. And I had no idea, and it's actually been going on for months. And I found this reason.com blog article. Another Cuban libertarian disappeared. His associates fear he's been secretly arrested. And then, you know, there was an update not long after that headline that the activist had been found, claims to have been beaten. Another libertarian activist in Cuba may have been taken into illegitimate custody by the Castro regime. His associates in Partido Libertario Cubano, Jose Marti, are reporting. Nelson Rodriguez Charchon, who wrote an article in the Pan Am Post. Okay, I'm not going to read all that. But anyway, let's see. So Charchon was the one who had been arrested. And then he had reappeared and had been gone over 24 hours, and it looked like he'd been beaten up. And I mean, anyway, so this has been going on for months, and there are several articles out there. This is the one that I found a couple of days ago. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you know about it? Do you know did you guys happen to see anything else online about this, or?
Well, I've seen these, I've seen these, articles sort of filter in over the last couple of weeks, and it just seemed to be getting worse. I'm looking for it. I can't really find it, but I want to, like, I swear I saw one that said that just like the entire party got just taken, or like the entire party official platform or whatever was taken, or there was some mass arrest of Cuban Libertarian Party people. And it just, yeah, it's, not altogether surprising, especially considering where it is. To be honest, at this point, I wouldn't be too surprised if this type of stuff happened in the U.S. in a decade or two. But especially in Cuba. Right, like out in Seattle. Yeah.
So the people from the Cuban Libertarian Party are criticizing the light rail project in Havana that they're promising will revitalize Havana. And they're upset about the sugary drink taxes.
Well, no, keep in mind, in Havana, before they do the light rail, they really have to do cash for clunkers, right?
Oh, yeah.
That may be an off-color joke. Because all the cars in Cuba are like from the 50s.
Yeah, actually, it'd be cash for classics.
Cash for classics. Yeah. At this point, you're absolutely right.
I'd be willing to bet that that given the opportunity that some American auto collectors would probably be willing to go down there and buy up some of those old cars.
Right. Well, there is a style called. It's this sort of trend where people go to very undeveloped or run-down nations and
like Detroit,
Detroit, yeah. But they go there
the failed
for
state
for
project,
the, right? Yeah. But they go there for the novelty of being in a poor country. And it's like, oh, look at all this culture because they're poor and stuff. And you see people actually getting upset that countries are starting to bring themselves out of poverty because all of their culture is going away because, you know, they're not poor and you can't take your tourist photos or whatever.
Now, didn't you say that these tourists are wealthier or at least much more affluent here than, you know, not just in these third world places, but also in their homelands?
Did I don't well, I mean, certainly more affluent than the countries they're going to. But I mean, generally, if they're traveling the world, they're not doing too badly off at home either.
Okay. You think maybe they're bummed out about these third world places boosting themselves up in the economic scale because they're no longer the big dogs that they were before?
I don't know if I'd say that. Maybe because it's usually like hipsters, you know, commie chic hipsters that are saying stuff like this. It's like the typical, it's the modern airhead. You know, back in the 80s and 90s and the 70s and whatnot, you had the Valley Girl airhead that was really, really well known, that was just really stupid, didn't really have a thought in her brain, didn't think about anything. Well, now you have the hipster airhead because the hipster is the new trend. But the thing is, with the hipster airhead, you still have this sort of faux intellectualism that comes with it because everybody's been to college now because you don't have to know anything to go to college anymore because everybody is supposed to
go to come out of college either.
Exactly. Right. So you have this sort of hipster education that has a college degree and thinks that they know everything because they have that stamp of paper that says they know something, even though a college degree is probably more useless less useful than a high school diploma from the 60s or 50s.
Yeah, but, your average college degree for sure.
Right, but you have a whole bunch of airhead hipsters that think they know everything because they've got this piece of paper. And I think that's the type of people that are doing this sort of commie chic and, you know, I want to visit the third world nations.
Wearing a Che t-shirt.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And what's her face from that actress from The Mask? Do you know who I'm talking about? The blonde
Cameron
girl?
Diaz.
Cameron Diaz. She actually got in trouble for doing the commie chic thing in a country that had been ravaged by communists. And they basically like ran her out of the country or something. When did that happen? This was a few years ago. But she was carrying around a messenger bag with the red star on it, basically doing the commie chic thing. And because that's the actual term for it, commie chic, when fashion, when you use communism for fashion, and you have the Shea t-shirt, and the red star, and the sickle and crossbones, and all of those little things. And she actually got in some heat in whatever country she was visiting. I can't remember which one, for having that red star that represented whatever, it was probably some sort of Maoist or Eastern country that was, that had really, the country that she was visiting had been under the thumb of this, and she was completely oblivious to it. She was just doing it for the fashion because, you know, airhead hipster Hollywood.
Right, whatever's trendy.
Exactly. So, as far as Cuba goes, though, it's as the stories have been rolling in, as far as I've been watching them, it seems like it's kind of like people are getting picked off. But it's good to hear that at least one of them has returned. You know, one of them survived.
Right. Yeah. And I saw, you know, some articles, and they weren't, I don't know, there was another article. It was an Alex Jones article. I should have maybe, like, pulled that one up. But also, I mean, there were other articles going back to at least February of this year of when this had started happening. And more recently, in response, the Libertarian Party has now formed officially in Cuba.
Yeah.
As of just looking at another reason.com article, May 18th. Yeah, so that was their response.
Well, at least it's
a Libertarian Party. Yeah.
Yeah. At least it's a step in the right direction. I mean, it's a bit of a sloppy step. It's muddy. They're not, you know, it's a step that's really easy to fall right back down the stairs, but it's sort of in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Ron Paul. Look, Ron Paul was a muddy step in the right direction.
Yeah, there's actually this photo of the
Ron
the
Paul Partido was a sidestep.
Yeah, there's a photo here, and it's interesting because this one guy is holding a machete. It's of the new the Partido Libertario Cubano. Yeah, so that's the Libertarian Party of Cuba in Spanish. My impeccable Spanish, I might add.
Yep. It's funny that the LP candidates can't even get arrested here in America, but they disappeared down in Cuba.
Yeah. Well, and just to clarify, you know, I grew up in Miami. Machetes are ubiquitous.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. What? Yeah. So, yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 5th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, starting Thursday, June 22nd, and going through Monday, June 26th. That's right, Liberty Fest is getting longer and stronger. There will be presentations, discussions, bacon duels, and outdoor activities in an environment that is both family and grown-up friendly. There will be special appearances by Jeffrey Tucker, Dana Martin, and a few of the Freedom Fiends. If you have only talked about what a free society would look like, this is your chance to live it and see it with your own eyes. Now round up your friends and family and get them registered today at mplfest.org. And there is a discount for paying with Bitcoin. That's mplfest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Since I live in Seattle, that kind of fits because we have a lot of dogs and a lot of crazy people in Seattle. So,
yeah,
it works.
Crazy people with dogs.
That is also true. One cool thing. I'm going to start working in town on Monday, and I work about a block away. This is just a goobery thing that, you know, cute overload. I'm going to work about a block away from a doggy daycare. So I can walk over there and just look into this window. They've got this viewing window of the general play area where all the dogs play. I was walking by there today, and I got in a little conversation with one of the dogs. It was really great. Super cute.
Awesome. What kind of dog?
Yeah. One of the little white foo-foo fuzzy dogs. Oh. I don't know my breeds very well.
You had a conversation with that kind of a dog?
Yeah, well, it was more just me going, and him yelling at me. That was pretty much
barking.
Yeah. So, me being
what,
all
what?
Cute struck.
What?
Why are you there? Go away. All right. So, did you want to get into the lemonade emergency story? 911?
Sure. 9/11. 9/11 lemonade emergency. Officers visit wannabe cop stand. So, apparently, there's a 3-year-old. Or a lemonade stand that was run by a 3-year-old as aspiring cop in Kansas City. And Kansas City, Missouri, for those of you who get Kansas City, Missouri and Kansas City, Kansas confused as being the same city.
Which I do. I have done that multiple times.
Technically it is, isn't it?
It's...
I think that if you asked the people who live there, they would probably disagree.
Well, there's an arbitrary line in the middle of it, right? Yeah.
So there's a river.
Technically, it's not. Effectively, it is.
Yeah.
So it essentially is, yeah.
Right. It can be confusing because the Kansas City, Missouri part is actually the larger, more well-known part. So.
Right.
But anyway, so the lemonade stand was descended upon by 50-plus officers, and a police helicopter buzzes overhead because the customers had started to thin at this little wannabe cop's lemonade stand. So 50-plus officers save the day, 9/11 lemonade emergency, you know, like save this little wannabe cop's broken little heart. So, yeah, what do y'all think? Do you think that remedies, you know, pets being shot and things like that? Do you think that makes up for it?
folks, I have to wonder how much of this would have been such a positive, you know. Positively looked upon if the kid hadn't been dressed like a cop. And my only take on that is, you know, folks, please don't teach your kids to idolize police officers. That's a good way to get them shot.
Well,
they should
arrest
him for stolen valor.
Yeah, pretty much.
So. I was looking at our next story because I'm trying to get brushed up on that. So, how old is this kid again?
Three years old.
3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Running a lemonade stand.
Apparently, yes. Yes.
Does he have a permit?
He's a cop. He doesn't need a permit.
Well, he's not a cop yet.
Right.
Is his badge made of the magic metal, or is it just a plastic badge?
It doesn't really go into detail about that, Lou.
Well, you couldn't find a better article with more details?
Hey, I didn't actually come up with this article.
These are the things that our listeners want to know. They want to know if the badge is made of metal or plastic.
Yeah.
They want to
either
know
way, shiny badges. Question. Either way, shiny badges don't grant extra rights, so or special rights.
That's what gives him the right to have a lemonade stand. Yeah. But the permit question is a good question because that's the first thing that came to my mind too. I originally thought they were coming down on him for not having a permit to sell.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you.
iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this, and we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Freedom Fiends, welcome back. And something that we've been talking about, we've been doing this in the last half hour over the past month or so, talking about people of accomplishment. And what we've talked about previously were some of the so-called robber barons. We've highlighted Cornelius Vanderbilt, John D. Rockefeller, and James J. Hill of the Great Northern Railroad. And what we talked about was the accomplishment that they had. Tonight, I'm going to talk about something a little bit different. And this is certainly somebody who has accomplished quite a few things, but she's not a captain of industry. She's not somebody who started a business and turned it into a monster, and that served all of humanity, or at least a significant portion of it in a geographic area. This story here is about the single mom that built a 3,500 square foot home by watching YouTube tutorials.
That's
so
amazing.
When it comes to the accomplishment of this, just to do little simple remodeling projects is quite daunting. And it used to be to where if you wanted to do these things, you could read some books and magazines and maybe, oh gosh, I don't know. There was a time when cable TV was still relatively new, you may have had like a home improvement channel or something like that to where you could watch these different things. But this was in the time before DVR and all this other stuff to where you could just pull this up. But now there's this thing called YouTube, and you can pull up a video anytime that you want. And heck, you can even put it on your phone. And I think with that new YouTube Red, you can download that video and watch it offline later. I'm not really sure. I haven't signed up for it, but anyway.
Well, there are other ways to download videos from YouTube.
Yeah,
as well.
And there's plugins. there's plugins to where you can do that. But anyway.
Yeah.
The story here: Kara Brookins needed to make her family solid again. The single mom of four had recently left a marriage where she was a victim of domestic violence, and Brookins felt like she and her kids were broken. We lost ability to laugh together, she told Today Home. We had spent so long being beaten down. During Thanksgiving weekend of 2007, she was driving her kids to a cabin in the Ozark Mountains when she passed a house totally ravished by a tornado. Left behind were simply pieces of wood and nails. I stopped and got out to look at it and could see outside the walls. Or could see inside the walls, she said. I thought, I bet I could put this back together if I really tried. And with a little help from YouTube, that's exactly what she and her family did. Yeah. That weekend, she and her children fantasized about what it would be like to build their own home. The kids joined in and started drawing floor plans on little notepads, she said. Next thing she knew, she was getting a construction loan to do it. Working a full-time job, Brookins had to complete the project in 9 months because of the terms of the loan. We knew it was going to be hard, she said, but we had no idea of the scale. Since the loan only covered supplies, Brookins and her kids needed to do everything they could to cut the cost, which meant they would be doing most of it themselves. They would search YouTube tutorials to see what they needed to do. YouTube in 2008 was unorganized, she said. They were mostly amateur videos. Because the family didn't have smartphones back then, they couldn't Google on the job site, so they'd have to watch it the night before. There was a lot of, do you remember how to, blah, 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 the next day, she said. Brookins said the foundation was the hardest part, both physically and mentally. We were so weak then. We were carrying around these blocks and slugging through mud. We didn't have proper work boots, so we put plastic bags on our feet with old tennis shoes. We were completely unprepared. But something happened as they worked together. We gained muscle. We gained confidence. We learned how to laugh. We learned how to communicate, Brookins said. Brookins said once the foundation was done, they were able to communicate almost telepathically.
Wow.
That might be a little bit of a stretch, but anyway, when you look at the pictures of this,
it's amazing. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's five bedrooms, 2.5 baths. It's got a big, giant library in there. Wow. And the kitchen, it will just knock your socks off.
Wow. Yeah, the kitchen is beautiful. So I was thinking, you know, as you were reading the article, before I actually, you know, kind of got into the article, I was thinking that she, you know, did YouTube and maybe contracted out some of the work or whatever, but they actually did it all themselves.
Well, they contracted out part of it. They had somebody do the HVAC and
The
electrical stuff, I think it was.
Well, that would be very smart to do that for sure.
Yeah.
So,
but this really
maybe not rely on a YouTube tutorial for that.
Right. But this really is a statement for industriousness. You know,
right,
human industriousness,
and
the power of the human spirit. They didn't need any regulatory bodies to tell them how to do this, or to force a certain manner of, you know, a quote unquote appropriate construction. They figured it out. They built their home, and they not only did they build a beautiful home for them to live in. They went through an experience that really seems to have changed them for the better, and they went through this gauntlet that increased their well-being in terms of character, and frankly in terms of, you know, stuff like self-confidence and just general happiness. And it's really a great story.
Yeah. One of the lines in here towards the end of the article says, I kept hearing advice like, just get out of bed and just make a pot of coffee. If my goal was only to get out of bed, I'd never accomplish anything, she said. Her advice to others coming out of a difficult situation, set goals impossibly big. Look at the big picture.
Yeah.
I can't count the number of times where I was starting up a new project, and nothing anywhere near the magnitude of building a house. Although, you know, who knows? That might be down the road. But I recently bought a smoker for meat, and it's one of the low end ones. Mm-hmm. So what I did when I bought it, or maybe it was the night before I bought it. Anyway, whatever. I went on YouTube and I put in charcoal water smoker, and a laundry list of videos came up, and it was everything from there were manufacturers that had put out videos with some helpful hints, and there was one in particular that I watched a few times because it was very helpful. And then there's like a couple of fat rednecks talk about how to smoke meat and another one. There was such a nice variety of them. And I found two or three that I really liked that I went back and looked at a couple of times. And when I went to smoke meat for the first time, like the next day, it came out really good. I was very proud of it. So here we have this access. Darn near everybody in America has access to all this information that's available to them. I'm at the point now to where I don't even want to ask people questions anymore because I could just go to Google and find it.
Yeah, so absolutely. That's how I do most of my projects is I find
Google it.
Yeah, I Google it or I YouTube it.
Right. I know at work, because I'm a SQL developer, and I see people with SQL books and different, other, tools like that, to books actually on their desks. And I'm thinking, why not just Google your question. I don't know. I think that there's something to be said for having the books and everything, but I don't know. I think it's more show than anything.
Yeah, like, that especially for sequel. Yeah. So for those who don't know, SQL is a database querying language. You're essentially just typing up queries to, you know, yank stuff from a database or put stuff into a database. And it's really one of those languages that's really easy to learn, to just Google it and learn. The problem is it's really easy to forget too if you don't use it, but it is really easy to learn. So having a book on SQL is really pretty pointless.
Oh, and the books I've seen are really thick.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Why is that thick? They're like, like 10 commands.
I mean, 10 basic ones.
I mean,
there
are more, but there are 10 that you regularly use. There aren't enough to make like a full, thick 2-inch bound book.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, but I just think, you know, I mean, whenever I have a question about how to actually write, you know, some of that code, I Google it. And you can pretty much do anything, Lou.
Well, you know what you need to do now. Smoke meat. Whenever you see a book on one of your colleagues' desk, send them a link to this family that YouTubed all of this work and say, well, you feel dumb now, don't you?
Well, I'm working from home full time now, so I don't actually have visual interaction with my coworkers for the most part.
Ah, okay. Well, that's...
Yeah, anymore.
Probably fortunate.
Yeah. I don't know. They were pretty cool. I mean, they're still cool. They still live.
I just Googled something on YouTube. So I put... Well, Google... YouTube is Google. So anyway, I put in how to build roads. And there are 6,630,000 results. My roads.
Yeah.
We'll build the roads.
So now that's the easy answer. Anytime any of our anarchist friends get that question, what about the roads? You can just type in, let me Google that for you. There's a website. Yeah. Let me Google for that for you. Send that. How to build a road.
Yeah.
Oh, this is interesting. Yeah, because it's showing a lot of different things on here, and I'm just on the first page.
For building roads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Meow.
Sure, there are all sorts of interesting tactics.
We'll build some roads in the final segment right after this trip to the market.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Cock-a-doodle-loo.
So here's an interesting story. I'm sure that the results of it would probably be replicable darn near anywhere that they're done. And as a matter of fact, it's not just this particular subject matter or line of thinking that goes along with it. This story comes from thecollegefix.com. It says, Davidson College students furious after they are tricked into rejecting socialist ideal.
I don't think it's that hard to make that happen.
Socialists rejecting socialism. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
when they actually hear it spelled out.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, there was a poll on that, wasn't there? You know, modern millennials love the word socialism, but hate the actual policies.
Mm-hmm.
They think they support socialism, but in actuality, the policies they support are communist. Or,
Che t-shirt wearers. Yeah, Che t-shirt
right.
wearers.
Yeah.
Commie chic. So anyway, many students at Davidson College recently responded in anguish and outrage after some conservative students filmed a video asking people on campus if they would sign a petition to redistribute GPAs for the sake of education equality. Many students refused to sign the petition, saying it wasn't fair for a variety of reasons, including that people who earned their A's should keep their A's, and that students who are given good grades without hard work might not be inspired to improve. But after students discovered that the petition was a hoax played on them by conservative students in an attempt to illustrate the unfairness of wealth distribution, they hastily called a teach-in at the campus union, at which they denounced the effort and vented their frustration.
Oh, my God.
So let me see if I get this straight. You should keep
the butt hurt is strong.
If you work hard, you should keep the rewards for it. And you shouldn't be forced to share it with others. And sharing with others that don't work hard will not be an incentive for them to work harder. They'll just keep riding along and doing as little as possible. Oh, okay. All right. That only applies to the academic world. It doesn't have anything to do with income or anything like that.
But anyway. The real world.
Yeah, well, so, you know, if you work hard, you should be able to keep the product of your labor. And if you don't work hard, you should be able to keep the product of other people's labor.
Right? <That's>, okay.
Sounds fair.
Right. It seems legit, right?
So, anyway, as they were denouncing the effort of venting their frustration, some students said the fake petition made them struggle with feelings that they do not belong at Davidson, while others aggressively attacked the video, calling it oppressive, illegally filmed, and inflammatory bullshumor, according to a video of the April 27th teach-in on Facebook.
Oh my gosh.
Multiple
this is hilarious.
Students at the teach-in also made comments supporting both income redistribution and GPA redistribution, saying life wasn't always fair and it's the right thing to do. Others suggested that not forcibly redistributing income would give rich people the power to decide who lives and dies based off their charitable donation whims. One student who spoke identified herself as a daughter of undocumented immigrants from Mexico and lamented that her parents are unable to get jobs available to American citizens. The GPA petition was distributed by students in the Young Americans for Freedom chapter at the North Carolina-based Davidson College, a small liberal arts school. Well, there's your problem right there. Mm-hmm. It's a liberal arts school.
I'm very familiar with that college. Yeah.
Young America's Foundation had run a nationwide video contest asking its chapters to film students' reactions when asked if they would voluntarily redistribute their good grades to a failing student in the name of fairness. The hypocrisy is obvious. Liberals embrace socialist policies when their own property is unaffected, but when socialism affects them personally, watch them become advocates of free enterprise instantaneously. The foundation on its website is announcing the contest. Now, everybody loves communism and the redistribution of wealth, but when they find out that everybody would wind up with $10,000 after the redistribution and they currently have $12,000 or more, communism doesn't sound so good anymore.
Yeah. You know, how dare you make me think? That's oppression.
How dare you hurt my feels? So anyway, thanks for coming out tonight, guys. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And to all of our listeners, thank you. And for more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms.